thank you to Pastor for inviting. A big thank you to the youth team, the leadership. Thank you very much. But I want you to put your hands together for the beautiful choir. They did amazingly well. Can I have the backups, please? I just want us to worship God together for a couple of minutes before we get into the word. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Let's sing together.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God, you are good. God, you are good. It is a testament that we are alive today that you are good and your mercies endures forever. Who are we that you are mindful of? What have we done to deserve your mercy and your grace?
To worship you I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. To worship you, I live to worship you.
And when we don't have words, what do we say?
Oh,
when we're out of words, what do we say?
Oh.
Just the audience. You're all I want.
You're
today he's all you want.
You're all I ever needed.
You're all I want.
You're all I want.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me know you.
There's someone here that came with a very, very heavy heart to church. You feel unloved by your parents. I don't know who you are, but God says his love is everlasting in your life. And all he wants from you is to just reach out to him. The Bible says he keeps knocking at the door of your heart. He has been knocking. He said, anyone that lets me in, you have to let him into your life. He can't force himself on you. So whoever you are, wherever you are at, there's someone dealing with self-esteem issues this morning. You feel less than your peers. And God is saying that when I made you beautiful. So it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. You are who God says you are. Turn to your neighbor, say, I am who God says I am. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. Thank you very much, choir. It doesn't matter what my friends say. It doesn't matter what people say I look like. I am who God says I am. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. So this morning, we're talking about Christians in the marketplace. How many of us are in a market? How many of us? Do you think you are in a marketplace? So randomly, just throw, what marketplace are you at? School? Work, church, anywhere else? Yeah, government. Sorry, I heard someone say something. Road, home, marriage, the bank. You like money. So, I know I sent a slide, but I like sending slides so that you have an idea of what I'm talking about. But this morning, we are going to have a twist to it, okay? So we can go to the next slide. And you're one of these four things if you are in Christ. You are one, the light of the world. Number two, you are fire. Number three, you are salt of the earth. How many of us know Salt Bay? That's why I used that picture. And number four, you're a city set on a hill. Now, if for any reason, let's pick one of them. It's minus 50 winter. There is no heater in your house. How would you feel? I need us to interact. Freezing cold. Would you sleep well? Now, if, let's say, throw me, someone should give me their name. Deji. KG, okay. So let's imagine KG lights a matchstick and says, everyone come to church. I know there's no eater everywhere, but I have a matchstick. Will KG warm up this room? Is it possible? What will happen to that matchstick? It will go off. It will burn out. What if Ngozi and KG brings theirs? What happens? It will last longer, but it will still go. Okay, Banka, what's your name? KG, okay. So KG number two brings her light. What happens? We send 3 matchsticks. It'll be longer, but what will happen? Imagine if everyone in this room brings a matchstick. What happens? Everywhere will be warmer. We will use that matchstick and convert it probably to some fuel and make this place warm. And that's God's expectation for us in every marketplace you are. So imagine if you, let's take light. So if we turn off all these lights, can we try it? Can we turn off all the lights in the hall? Is it possible? Just tell me yes or no. Okay, so let's turn off the light. I need KG number one. Where's KG number one? Only one. I need someone at the back. Someone mentioned their name at the back. Okay, so do you have a phone? Who has a phone at the back? Okay, please, usher, turn on your phone. Let's imagine that all this is dark. Put on your flashlights. For those sitting in the choir, can that brighten you? Can you see if this place was dark? For those that are on pastor's side, pastor, can you see with that light? If from here, if everywhere was dark? No. Now, imagine if every one of us turned on our flashlights. Do we all have our phones? So let's all turn on our flashlights. Can we see the difference? So even if pastor can't go from here to here, my husband's flashlight will give pastor some path. Your flashlight will do same. Her flash. Do we understand the concept of being a Christian in the marketplace? It means that you can't blend in with the world. You can't afford to, because you are light. So imagine if you are working with unbelievers, right? They don't know Jesus. You are light. And you now say, so that I can make them comfortable, I don't want them to feel very uncomfortable, I would just dim my light a little bit. I don't really talk about Jesus. I like God. Have you noticed in the sermon? How many, even award shows, do you hear them say, thank you, Jesus? They say, I thank God. Now it's the universe. Who born universe? Do you understand what I'm saying? They try as much as possible to dim your light. And you know what? The moment you align yourself, you can't shine in that marketplace. It should get to a point where when they're having certain conversations in your office, they should say, KG is coming. Let's keep quiet. She wouldn't do it. Don't worry. Don't bother talking to her. Because the moment they're even bringing that conversation to you, it means that you've been entertaining it before now. And they don't even know who you are. Like, oh, it's KG. We go to the club together, you know. So are you evangelizing the club? And you know, the funny thing is, those in the marketplace, can we go to the next slide? I wrote something in the next slide and I said, no, the next one before I come here. Oh, no, you're in the perfect space. I said, who you are outside the marketplace. Can we read the next line? So if you think that just coming to church every Sunday makes you a Christian, that means you only shine once a week. Right? It means that when you are driving on the road and someone is trying to cut you off, instead of speaking in tongues, you use other tongues. The moment you step out of that door, you're a different personality. Let's leave Jesus aside, you know? Let's not talk about Jesus right now. Let's deal with this face to face. So how do you carry the Spirit of God in you and you want to leave Jesus aside? You're not an entrepreneur who is a Christian in business or in governance or in the bank. You are a Christian who is a banker in the marketplace. So if you don't have an identity in Christ, then the marketplace will crash. My parents used to tell me when they were younger Christians that when, and I don't know if Pastor knew that, but you experienced it, that most people would rather have a Christian in the organization because they knew how trustworthy Christians were in the 90s or 80s. Can we say that today? That KG is a Christian. Ah, no. Don't worry about every other CV. I'm good. That was how it used to be before. So what happened now? Did we lose our light? Did we lose our salt? How many of us have cooked rice or stew without salt? Does it have taste? Forget all these other things that you add to it. You make white rice without salt. How would it taste? Did we lose our salt? So I see the marketplace as a blank canvas, a dark canvas where we have to shine. We have to ignite our fire. We have to add that salt to make it tasty. Now, the other question I will have for you is, who has God sent you to and what do you stand for? If we look at the story of Joseph, the Bible says he was a very handsome man. And I'm imagining Joseph like, let's say he's like Idris Elba. Tall, hot chocolates, hit pack, right? Or the new rave, Jonathan Majors, right? We don't watch movies in this church. Let's not be doing all these things now, right? And the boss's wife said, fine boy, how far now? My husband is not always at home. That fire you are carrying, come and use it to warm my bed. Was that not what Potiphar's wife was asking him to do? Remember, Joseph was a slave in a foreign land. And a lot of people started as international students in this foreign land. So your parents are not here, just like Joseph. Remember, his brothers actually sold him. Will you actually ever talk to your brothers again after that? So imagine that, okay, this guy that was sold to a slave is given the opportunity of a lifetime to sleep with his boss's wife and enjoy. There'll be benefits to it, right? So when the boss is not around, instead of taking one beef, he will take four, right? Instead of driving, let's say, the pickup in the house, he will drive probably the Rolls Royce and be like, oh, madame sent me somewhere. But there was something different about him. There was something that made him stand out. So in class, when they're always speaking on just you, or they want to make you feel very uncomfortable at work, have you asked yourself, God, what have you sent me to do in this market space? How am I shining as light in school? At the end of the day, Joseph didn't say because his parents were not there, because his family was not there, he would bend or maneuver things. No. What did he do? What did Joseph do? Any Bible scholars here? Huh? He fled. Thank you. He didn't do rabosheti. Oh, madam. What did the Bible even tell us to do? Flee from all. Appearance is not that it's in your face, so is that you are seeing it on Google Maps 30 minutes away. And you're like, screw, screw, reverse, vroom. Why? Because you don't even have to. There are some conversations you don't entertain. Let's spring on dating for 1 second. Oh, he really likes me, or she really likes me, but she doesn't really like Jesus. I'll pray about it. My sister, you're not praying about anything. Run! He doesn't love Jesus, your own father. Every time you are trying to shine as light, your boss is like, can you just keep quiet? Your accent is not and you're like, because your boss doesn't like you, you'll work less. No, that's when you even do more work. That he himself will be frustrated to say, I have tried everything. Like broken English, you say, this girl too, they shy. I can't dim this person's light. No matter how much this world does in your marketplace. So there are conversations they give you in school, and as they are finishing it, you're like, I know the party you're saying is 7 p.m., but have you heard about RCCG Freedom House? We're having a concert in like 3 hours, and I would like to invite you. You're not saying, you know what, let me go and think about it. The moment you tell them, let me go and think about it, that's the first sign that they can bring it back to you again. But you know one thing that is very, very funny? Is if you don't know who you are in Christ, the marketplace will not look like anything special. I'm going to put my husband on the spot. So my husband, all my fine pictures that you're seeing, he took those pictures. Hallelujah. Don't worry. And let me tell you something. One of the deal breakers for him in photography is no matter how fantastic the brand or money is, he will never take anything nude. Whether you're just wearing semi-clothes or quarter to semi-clothes. Not because this time he was a single guy. He was not married though. And there were always those people that would send ads his way. That they want to do boudoir shoots. How many of us know boudoir shoots? Boudoir is basically less than so much of clothing on you when you take those pictures. Now, imagine if when he was single and he claimed to be a Christian, right? And he used to entertain shoots like that. You have to know who you are. If you don't have an identity, you'll fall for anything. You will. So if they bring, what is raving is this trending clothes, you go for it. Let me give you an example. So there was a day, you know when you have people that go to whatever country from Africa you come from, right? You say, please help me bring new outfits. So there was this new outfit that my tailor made from Nigeria. It was, oh my God, beautiful. So I told God, I said, this Sunday, oh my God. I was not trying to wear it to a party. I was going to go to church. Not a party. Not a friend's place. And I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, don't wear these clothes. You know when the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you're now having debate. Holy Spirit, you know that I'm trying to give you my best. I say, don't wear the clothes. But you know the strong-willed person inside of me said, what is there? I'm going to wear this for the Lord. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, I was supposed to lead special number for 11:30, right? I was not talking to you. At exactly 10:25, As I stood up for praise and worship, guess what happened? If it was a zip, I wouldn't mind. The trousers split from here all the way down. Now imagine if I just listened to the Holy Spirit that morning. JJ. And he said, don't wear this out. How interested God is in your life. He's not only interested when you have issues at work or in school. To the outfits you wear when you are stepping out of the house. So I had to drive 20 minutes back home, 20 minutes back to church. The exact outfit that I was supposed to wear, I now wear it. And I almost felt like, I would have saved myself 40 minutes. Maybe I would have found out that the clothes was not actually good before then. God is interested in every segment of your life. Let me tell you how interested he is. 2016, I was in law school. I couldn't use the toilet for 4 days. Have you ever had that kind of issue before? I pray you don't have it in Jesus' name. It was one of the most uncomfortable, painful days of my life. And that day I just woke up in the middle of the night and I said, Jesus, you said my body is your temple. Can't your temple just do number two in peace? And I'm not joking, in less than 2 hours, I went to the washroom. It might seem like, what kind of testimony is that one? It was important to me. And it made me know that God actually cared about my digestive system. It is that important to him. So imagine, and that's what I'm going back to. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know who God has says, you are beautiful, you are blessed, you are favored, you are wonderfully and fearfully made in his image. So it means that there's a side of God that is just like KG, or just like Ngozi, or just like Larry, or just like Charles. Why? Because he made you in his image. So if you are an image of God, why would you think less of yourself? So if you think less of yourself, how do you expect the marketplace to take you? Do we understand what I'm saying? So, another thing that kills us is comparison. We compare ourselves. We can go to the next slide. We compare ourselves to other people. So, where has God sent you? Your job or wherever you are in life might not be in this 4 columns. But if you're a teacher, your marketplace is that classroom. I was reading something, I think last week on TikTok. There's this teacher that once her students are entering to the room, she says a word of blessing on their life every morning. Every morning. So imagine the teacher that already said, you're favored, you're blessed, you will excel. You kind of have almost a better day, right? Because she has spoken words into the lives of those children. Or you're that teacher that once you are coming, everybody will just clear. Nobody wants to be in Mrs. Tammy's class because Mrs. Tammy is a witch. Why? She's wicked. So how do you want to be wicked to children and tell them about Jesus? The question is, if you look at a mirror, are you reflecting the Christ-like nature? The word Christians, that didn't come from them saying, it's just like if Prince Harry comes through this door, do we have to announce it? You recognize that he's coming in, right? Right? If the Prime Minister comes through this door, won't we know? So why is it that when you walk into the room, darkness doesn't know? Why is it that you have to, and don't you know I'm a Christian? Wow. If you have to announce your identity, then there's a problem. A king doesn't announce himself. He enters into a room and you know there's royalty in the room. But you, they're having conversations that you're not comfortable with. They are talking about you and they are saying how less of a person you are. And yes, I am not giving them back. When the devil went to tempt Jesus, what did Jesus say? Back. It is going back to back. You can't send it and I will not keep quiet and put my... No. Remember, Pastor Deboyo said something 2016 convention, 2017 in Calgary. He said, I laugh at people, you know how he talks calmly. I laugh at you people that are abroad because your own witchcraft has PhD. They don't hide it. I know someone that works in government and tells a co-worker, I'm a witch and I'm doing a 50-day fast. We are taking over the city. They are confident. Have you noticed Satan and his followers? They have liver. All this Grammy noise, I just always laugh. What are you expecting them to do? If Satan is the father of somebody, what attributes should the person give? Will he give fruit of the Spirit? So why do we expect them to? So if you, that you are the fruit of the Spirit, if you are meant to, whose joy? And every time you enter into the office, everybody says they become moody. You are the problem. If every time you enter into a room and there's no light shining, then we have to go back and ask ourselves, where has God sent me to? But before you answer that question, who are you? Ty Tribbett's song, Stand Out. Be not conformed. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. I like your smile. That's why I'm looking at you every time. You can't afford to conform yourself to this world and shine. You can't afford to. It is too expensive. Jesus already paid the price. You're not paying any other price. All he's asking you to do is live for me. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first and his righteousness. All. Not one, not two, but all. So when you are more chasing, money is very important. I don't joke with my... And God is telling you, seek me first. All I want you to do is chase me. How many of us are going to be God chasers after this morning? How many of us will represent Christ in our marketplace? That we won't hide. If you're a doctor, if you are in the boardroom, and if you're on campus, can we have the next slide? Can we ask that question to ourselves? Can we read it out loud? That's my question to you this week. The business dealing might be the clothes you are going to wear tomorrow morning to work. It could be you just standing up on the bus so that someone can sit down. The people in Antioch, they didn't go announce, so it was the people of the land that said, These are followers of Christ. I like food. So let me give you an imagination. So there's something called pomo. I think it's the cow what? Cow skin. People that like don't like food like me. So let me give you an example. So if you take that cow skin and you put inside a freshly made stew on Monday, would it change color? On Tuesday? On Wednesday? By Thursday, you won't even see the color of the cow skin because the stew has absorbed. You know what I'm saying, right? Those that like food like me understand it. Hallelujah. So imagine if every day you are telling your coworker, I need 30 minutes. I need to read the word of God. Please don't disturb me. But they can't see the evidence of the word in your life. You are the one that curses the most at work. I was working somewhere where even the manager felt uncomfortable to use the F word when I'm sitting down there. Once they're having those kind of conversations, they go to the back room. It's not a conversation. Don't have, near me, And once things start brewing up, you know, they say an apple a day makes the doctor. I always use this example, my husband. I would say, Pastor Walioke would say, a little shambala here, a little shambala there. Do you know the meaning of, what it means is, he means that, she's like, what does that mean? It literally means that you're driving from your house to work, 30 minutes drive, and you are blasting in tongues, right? You're coming, those 30 minutes that you used to drive, what do? Let's not even go to music this morning. And you're listening to that song and all the nonsense lyrics. I tell people, don't argue with people that listen to secular music. The day the Holy Spirit will deal with you, he will call me. Because you feel so uncomfortable that when you are in a party that they are playing those kind of music, you yourself, you start speaking in tongues so that the meaning of those lyrics doesn't affirm on your destiny. When Esther got to the king's palace, she could use the flex of, I'm the queen, I can go and see the king anytime, you know. But no, what did my sister do? Fast and pray. She will slay in the morning, but in prayer. She didn't play. And what happened? The king granted her wish. But did she come as a regular Queen Esther? She came as fire-branded giant killer Sister Esther. But what apparel did she wear in physical? A queen. She wore her best outfit because that was how you had to present yourself to the king. Joseph did the same thing. He wouldn't stand for darkness. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, let us die in the fiery furnace. We don't mind. But you know one confidence they had? That the Lord would deliver them. So you might be having that professor in school that thinks that he's Alpha and Omega and will play with your grades. Study you. If not, you play with your grades. But if you've done everything right, my sister, let's go into war. Because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They are having a ritual in their house. And you're doing, I just need to look cool. No. Looking cool is not enough. Oh. Because the demons that they are carrying, he has PhD. So you can't afford to. So every day, you have to invite Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But there are times you have to be like, the times where I just sit down on the toilet and start brush J Alpha. I'm not having a good week. Let me tell you another thing. This is our generation. We like isolation. I just want to be on my own. I don't want anybody in my business. My sister, iron has to sharpen iron. My brother, what does Psalm 1 verse 1 says? Blessed is the man. You all say it together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor seated in the seat of the scornful or sinners. So when he sees their seats like this, he doesn't pay attention. I'm not saying don't interact with your classmates, but let them know that when you step into that room. But what happened to the righteous man? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And he flourishes. Christians in the marketplace can't afford to not flourish. Can we go to the next slide? I have just less than 1 minute. Jesus in your marketplace. It means that Jesus calls your business to a greater purpose. And that's Matthew 4:18 to 22 talks about when he called Peter from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. You're not ordinary. Tell your neighbor, I'm not ordinary. You are saying it with low key. Tell your neighbor, look me eyeboy to eyeboy. I am not ordinary. I am who God says. Right? So there's a greater calling on your life. It's not enough to just say, I'm coming to church. I am. So the pastor will not call and say, did not see Sister KG in church. Let me shall come to church. Oh, Sister KG, not you. I'm just using that example. Right? Why do you come to church on Sunday? Do you have an expectation when you're leaving the house? So I want you this week and every day moving forward to ask yourself, what's my identity in Christ? How do I become the person that is always shy, intimidated, feels less of themselves at work, but now I am shining. I am fire. You can't stop me. I am salt. I had taste. If there's a deadlock at work, they have to call KG. They have to call Larry. They have to call Shola. They have to call Kathy. Whoever your name is, put your name. They have to call me to get that solution. Now, three things I want you to wrap up. Obedience. Two, soak the word of God. And three, integrity. As children of God, we have to have integrity. Because who are we? We are Christ's representatives in the marketplace. I pray God blesses you all in Jesus' name. Thank you very much.
All right, let's give her a round of applause. Thank you so much, Ma, for that wonderful session. Thank you so much. Right from the beginning, I knew it was going to be a powerful one. So right now, we'll be taking questions, and I know she's ready to, you know, answer the questions. So if you have any questions, can you please signify by raising your hand? Thank you. So I can see them very well. Any questions? Nobody? All right. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so my question is, we live in this world where everybody wants to be politically correct, you know, and political correctness is a demon on its own that you can't really define. So how do you become that salt in this kind of environment? Thank you.
Thank you very much. So the first thing is, where's the source of political correctness? It's not from God. And a lot of things that are termed political correctness, they don't have any roots in what we represent. So sometimes you have to be the outlier. You have to be like Daniel, where everybody was eating the king's meat, but you have to take vegetables and protein. And it won't be easy. I won't say it will be, to be very sincere. There are certain, okay, let me give you an example. Maybe not political correctness, but okay. So Halloween, right? A company I used to work with, they were really big on it. And they would tell everybody to make sure we decorate, wear this, wear that. And I had to let them know. I know people take offense when you don't celebrate it with them. But I told them, I don't stand for it. I can't say I worship Jesus. Then on Halloween day, I am carrying dead people's stuff on my head. How? It doesn't work. So every Halloween that year, so that I don't have, because it was a back and forth to my manager, and I told them, I said, the solution is, I don't mind giving up every other free day, but on Halloween day, I want that day off. And this particular manager did it, that she would not want to give me that day off. So what I used to do is that when those children will come, I would tell them, Jesus loves you. I'm being 100% with you. So there are conversations that happen at work that before they start happening, I let my manager know. It's not a conversation I can, if I put my mouth into it, we're going to have, so they try to, where I currently work, they try to stare off like conversations that will stare up like all this political correctness thing. So I would say, if you are in a place where someone is really chugging it down your throat, is either you convey your own thoughts respectfully back to the person, right? Just like if someone says, call me a particular name. If you're not comfortable with it, let the person know. You can represent whatever you want to represent, but I'm not comfortable with it. Is it okay if I call you by your name? And one of the things that we have to also understand is the Holy Spirit is always there to give us those right answers in the space of political correctness, so that you also don't land into trouble sometimes, right? And there's sometimes you have to land into trouble so that God will be praised. But on the other end, I believe that the Holy Spirit can be our guide, or He's our guide, where when we are in uncomfortable situations like that, He'll give us the right words to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. Thank you very much, man. Any other question? All right. Just someone at the back.
Stay away from. If iron sharpens iron, why do we stay away from sinners?
Thank you very much for that question. So, the iron that sharpens iron are believers. So, it is like, what's your name? Eh? Toluchi.
Chi.
Torochi.
Soruchi.
Soruchi. Thank you. So, imagine if, let's imagine this, right? So Soruchi knows John 3:16, and I know John 3:16. Now, the Bible says God's word is new every morning. There is a time where me and you are having that conversation about John 3:16, and you're like, when I was reading John 3:16, there was an emphasis of, for God so loved the world. And I'm like, but you read it every day. What's the big deal? And you give me a different perspective based on what God has revealed, that for God so loved the world to you. Now, the moment you are sharing that with me, you are sharpening that part of me through God's word. My question will now be, which is based on your question, How do you want to sharpen an unbeliever that doesn't even believe in that John 3:16? So for you to be light in your school, right, you have to make sure that you and your brother or you and your sister are equipped. So when mommy says, learn memory verses, so that when someone is saying a bad word to you, you can tell them, let me tell you something. Jesus loves you so much, and he won't expect you to say those bad words. That is you standing at light to the unbeliever. But when it is your sister that says the bad word, what do? You correct her in love using the word of God that she knows. Do you understand? So iron will sharpen iron because there are two irons together. But iron can sharpen wood. If iron sharpens wood, the wood will break, the iron will go blunt. So that's why the Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of the brethren, so that we can all bring our fire together, bring our irons together, and sharpen it through Bible study, through Sunday school, through learning memory verses, so that when you now come to experience someone that is not iron, you're able to stand as light and say, let me share with you what the Bible says in this. Or it could just be your act. So you have a bully in school that doesn't love anybody, and you go to God that morning and say, God, I want to talk to Stanley today. He bullies every kid in school, but I want to shine as light in my school so that he will stop bullying. The moment you shine your light on Stanley, Stanley becomes a better person, and Stanley will ask you, what's with you? Why do you, even though I do so many bad things, why do you take an interest in me? And what do you do to him? You introduce Jesus to him. You shine your light. And when Stanley becomes a Christian, your iron starts sharpening Stanley's iron. Did I try? Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am.